The Lord pushed us after last year and said, he made it where he said, you are going to do it back here. And what I was so appreciative of from this church is everybody who I picked up the phone and said, hey, we're going to do this. We're going to try to do this and make it happen here at Faith Bible Church. And I never got a no from anybody. What do you need? How can I help? What do you need me to do? There were some folks who came and asked me for stuff and I didn't have jobs for you. That was how much the outpouring was. So very much appreciative of Faith Bible Church, and what this meant. But what I want you guys to hear is from some of the kids, some of the other leaders, some of the other folks who were involved so that you can get an idea of what it meant. And not just from people like me who have a vested interest in seeing this thing succeed, but you're going to hear from some people that they don't have kids in the youth group. But they were deeply impacted by what happened. So first up, we are going to start with Morgan Kelbley.
Oh, you're tall. Hang on. Okay. So as he said, I'm Morgan Kelbley, and I did go on this mission trip this week. And like he said, we didn't go out of state. We didn't take a 15-hour van ride. So one of my goals for this week was to cultivate our church culture and our community culture. So first off, our church culture. We have a lot of graduated seniors who were leaving, but we also had a lot of new people this year. And so one of my goals was to make those relationships, and I think we did a really good job. We cried together, we worked together, we laughed together, and first and foremost, we learned about Jesus together. We learned about his kingdom and how we can rule in his kingdom by working, which is, we did a lot. We did a lot of working this week. And we created those relationships with people in the church. We went to quite a few work sites within the church. We did everything from yard work to helping with kids to cleaning bathrooms. And throughout it all, we did it together. We did it with groups. Sometimes we served with another group. And so we sweat together and we worked together and we learned a lot together. And especially creating those relationships out with people in the church, getting to work with them, them getting to see us work, them getting to talk to us while we worked. And it was amazing. And we also got to work out in the community. I know we went to the food bank, we went to Aglin Humane Society, we went to some summer park programs, and we also went to the Lincoln Center. So working with kids, we went to Crestview too, sorry. We worked with kids, we worked with senior citizens, we helped distribute food to people who need it. And already people have, you know, we had a really positive impact, and a lot of the administrators and leaders over those programs were like, wow, like y'all are really hard workers, like y'all really want to be here. And we were like, yeah, like we do want to be here, and we would, like, this is what we love to do. This is what we want to do. And so creating those positive relationships with people out in our community who see that, yeah, we're kids, but we really want to work and we really want to help and we really want to be here. So I think we accomplished our goal. We created a lot of positive community relationships, but we also created a lot of just inner church relationships. So that was what I had.
Next up, we're going to have one of the adult leaders, the queen of transforming the space of Faith Bible Church, the queen of marketing and videos, Casey Van Norman.
I cannot say it any better than Morgan just did. Thank you. It was a joy to be a leader this week. And I was going to just share a story at the very beginning that about Sunday night, Monday, we all started to break down pretty early. If you've ever done any kind of church camp, you know there's that high on that first day where it's exciting and there's passion and you're, nervous in a good way about what's ahead of you. And then very quickly, as you're sleeping on the attic floor next to 28 people, and it's quite warm and not at all, you're with strangers and you're thinking, wow, what have I just gotten myself into? And so Sunday night, Monday, Tuesday, we started to have some tears. There started to be some tension. There started to be a little conflict within the group. And I remember in my van, particularly, we were just talking about some of that, and I was saying things that I wasn't sure I quite believed myself. You know, hey, just hang on. The Lord's got this. We just, let's trust the process. And in my head, I'm thinking, what's the process? But I was just believing. I knew wholeheartedly that we were exactly where we were supposed to be. And I got to thinking, you know, as I started to have some tears on Monday night, just of exhaustion and fatigue and frustration of things that weren't going as we had planned. Lord, I don't know that this is the group that I would have picked to be all week long with. And I think some of the students were thinking and communicating the same thing. I don't know if this is the group I would have picked to do this whole week with. And I started to think, man, can you imagine the disciples? Because they didn't pick each other. And can you imagine the first church, the very early Christians, and thinking, I did not pick this group to do church with an ex-prostitute and an ex-Pharisee standing next to each other, and a slave and once a slave owner standing next to each other. And what the process was is the same that it's been for church throughout the generations, and that is that true church, true community, and true unity begin with the people you least expect and in the ways that you least expect. And that's what we saw happen this week with the vulnerability of our mess. We had all different generations and backgrounds and past and issues come to the surface. And it came to the surface in one particular way, and that's the way that Jesus teaches us of unity, and that's love. And so as we went out into the community, and we went into the nursing home, and we went into this dusty shop full of supplies that had never been touched in 7 years and attempted to clean it out. And as we went into some of our church members' backyards and painted fence and planted and just all over the community together in these messy parts of our community with our own messy pasts and selves, we saw this honesty rise to the surface. And it was in that place that we truly, truly saw the unity of what the church is meant to be. And so I just want to leave you with this verse. It was a verse that came to life and light to me over the week as a leader. And as someone, I say leader very loosely, by the way, as someone who was learning from our students, oh, I encourage you, older generation, I put myself in that category. Please get to know our younger generation. They will teach you so much about honesty and truth and vulnerability and the unity that I believe Christ wants for us in the church. Psalm 133. Behold, how good and pleasant it is when brothers dwell in unity. It is like the precious oil on the head, running down onto the beard, on the beard of Aaron, running down on the collar of his robe. It is like the dew of Hermon, which falls on the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord has commanded the blessing, life forevermore. And we really saw that this week, just this beautiful picture of an oil which is meant to be refreshing to the person who receives it. It's healing. It sets us apart. And that is what encouraged me this week, that unity in church is not what we expect. And I think as soon as we drop our expectations, we actually get to see the unity that blesses us with life forevermore. So thank you for letting me be a part.
So Friday we had a big worship service, and for those of you who were here, you got to hear from a lot of the church members who came up, and I wanted to have everybody speak again, but we wouldn't have been able to beat the Baptist to Luby, so I had to cut some of that part out. But I am going to have Kelly, Kalisha Kelbley, and Estella Mamacita Braswell come up and talk about some of the other service sites we were at.
Let's go, Kalisha. Let's go.
So if there were two people I did not want to follow, it's Morgan and Casey. So thank you. Bear with me. So we are going to talk a little bit about the service sites, but I also wanted to backtrack just a little bit. My experience coming in was year two. Wow. Pressure's on. I had a lot of trepidation, a lot of prayer coming into this. Was year one a fluke? Was what God did, was what God opened up and revealed to us kind of a one-time thing? Would we be good enough to get the kids where we needed them to be? Well, as we always say, spoiler alert, God had it. God did all those things and so much more. Casey's right. There were so many times this week that we felt absolutely derailed. We were like, oh, we are not going to get there. But again, in the end, God got us there in the most just miraculous ways. And you'll continue to hear from so many of these kids, and so many of the leaders and the people that we served. And it just all happened. I wanted to share a quick verse, Philippians 1, 6 and 7. And I'm sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. It is right for me to feel this way about you all, because I hold you in my heart, for you are all partakers with me of grace, both in my imprisonment and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel. This was something that for me just, I don't know, truly resonated with everything that happened this week. There is so much work that he will complete in us, and it began this week. So that said, last year, as Merv said, I mean, we served, and as Morgan said, we served all over Chattanooga, and that was my first mission trip ever. I didn't go on any as kids. That was my first one. And so we went to a Boys and Girls Club. I'm like, oh, we have a Boys and Girls Club. We went to a food bank. We have a food bank. We participated in summer feeding program. Okay, we do that too. And so that was something that immediately struck my heart. That's something that I do professionally, and then that I have a very personal and passionate interest in. And so as soon as the kind of conversations turned into, why don't we do this at home? I'm like, yeah, I'm in. I am in. And it was something that, as Merv said, thank you to this church body for allowing us and just perpetuating exactly what we wanted to do. And so before I turn the mic over to Estella, I wanted to share a couple of the comments that we heard from members outside this church about what we did. At Crestview, Miss Cassandra, the activities coordinator, like, I read back through her email this morning, and she used words like grace, light, sharing, blessing of God's work. Lincoln Center, Miss Shalita said, our kids were engaged, loving, enthusiastic, energetic. Aggieland Humane, Miss Nisa said, they were spreading love and faith, fellowship, accomplishment. All these things our kids, your kids, portrayed to the community through the work that they did this week. Aggieland Humane, Casey's right. We cleaned out a nasty shed. Thank you. Oh, Leah's not even in here right now. It was dirty. We were all blowing. It was just gross. We'll just leave it at that. But even in that, they saw the beauty of what our kids were doing, and that's what we wanted. So kind of the big question that we leave on the table is, will it continue? We hear the kids over and over. Merv's right. Man, we got to keep this going. We got to keep this going. The stage is set. It's up to us. But it can't just be us in the blue shirts. We are calling on this entire church body to make this happen. Ian, immediately, the day we were leaving Summer Park program, he was like, how can I come back? And I'm trying to get you those answers. I'm going to make sure of what the process is. Morgan is already scheduled to do a volunteer training at Aggieland Humane so that she can keep serving there. There's a group that wants to go back to Crestview, and Estella's going to talk about that. I've promised us to go help Miss Georgia clean up a Black Baptist church, as she stated it, in Anderson, Texas. And we need more than just our kids to do that. And so that's the call on the table. That's where I think I have truly felt led, is just making sure that this does continue. We can't do it 1 week a year. We have to be God's disciples each and every day. And this is one way in which we're going to do it. One more quick story, because it's all, you know, it's all positive and it's all serious. So one funny story from Crestview, Ms. Hale. So very agile lady, kept jumping up from the table, and she'd get her walker and she'd walk to her room. And so I was like, okay, everybody's engaged, I'll just follow Ms. Hale, right? So after about the 10th time, I said, hey, Ms. Hale, why do we keep coming to your room? Like, are we looking for something? Do you need something? Are we worried about something? She said, well, I'm going to be honest. All these kids in here make me a little nervous. I'm afraid they're going to take something. So I'll leave you with that.
Okay, let's just add to the list that I did not want to follow Morgan, Casey, and now Kelly. So thanks, Merv. But through this week, I did a lot of self-searching. Look at who I'm working next to. They are bigger than life. Merv, Kelly, Casey. She's come out of her shell big time. And I'm like, who is Estella, Mamacita, in this whole thing? What is my job? And really, the message was simple. It comes down to James 1:27. Religion that is pure and undefiled before God the Father is this: to visit orphans and widows in their affliction and to keep oneself unstained from the world. And we did a lot of that. One of my favorite things that we did this week was going to Crestview, and there are a lot of widows there. And I saw my kids love on them and not show any kind of intimidation. We did things like exercise with them, which was very simple. I mean, we have athletes in this group, and they did simple stuff like raise one leg and raise the other, rub your arm and rub your cheeks. And they were doing it enthusiastically. And there was one lady that we would all look to, and we were like, she's got this, follow her. And then looking over at Kobe Clark, who had, I've shared the story on Friday, and there's a guy that works there, his name is Francisco, and he's felt it on his heart to do the ladies' nails, so he's learned how to paint their nails. He's one guy, and there's several ladies there that love to have their little manicure. So he asked if we would do that, and we were like, yeah, we'd love to do that. I thought my girls would be all over that, but not just the girls, the guys stepped up too. I had, at one moment, Kobe Clark with a lady's hand in his own hand, removing her nail polish, and it was the sweetest moment for me, just to see him loving on her so well. And then walking out from Crestview and watching Jack and Tate, just hugging on this one lady who just kept telling him over and over, you brought me so much joy today. Please come back and see me. And they were like, yeah, we're going to do this. So yes, I'm going to make that possible for you. I'm going to be in touch with Crestview, and we're going to make sure that we get to go paint some more fingernails. And it's just going to be a blast. So thank you, church, for trusting us with your kids once again, for trusting us with this new endeavor of serving our own community. It has been such a blessing to us, a blessing to your kids. And I hope it has been a blessing to you to watch them do this. So thank you.
I have two more folks before we get into my 90-minute sermon that we're going to have today. Two guys who, they don't have kids in the youth group anymore. They're not, you know, they don't necessarily have a vested interest in this to succeed, other than this is part of being the church, and I definitely wanted you to hear from them. The first guy that we're going to have come up, what you need to understand is, in most mission trips we go to, the food is terrible. And like, some nights they will cook like 9 boxes of macaroni and put out some bananas, and that's your dinner for the night. And so usually we would have like the mission trip diet. But this year we all gained weight because of this next man, Mark Record.
Thank you. Well, I do have a different perspective than most of the leaders that have been up here. I did not get to go out each day And if anybody here knows me, you know where I live when I'm here. I'm in the kitchen because that's my happy place. The kids are amazing, just unbelievable. They're polite. They eat a lot. They're so smart. They are super talented. Before every breakfast meal and evening meal, whatever crew was in there to prepare that meal would come up with a song. And it would be a song that they listened to. They would change the lyrics to fit all of the night's menu items into that song. So then they would sing the song before the meal, and then someone in the group would pray, and then we would eat. So that was amazing. The talent is incredible. I guess my biggest takeaway was these kids love Jesus. I mean, it's incredible. It really is. And they're talking about following different people. I'll follow anybody, but the main one I'm going to follow is Jesus. And all the people shouted? Amen. Thank you.
So the last guy we're going to have allowed us to come out to his place on Wednesday night, and we did our full. Usually we would come here and eat, and then we would go have an evening activity and then come back for worship. But Ronnie Vituli allowed us to stay at his whole place, and that was the pictures you saw of us on the deck, dancing around, swimming in his pond. But I wanted Ronnie to share because he also got to stay not only for worship, but at the end we would have our church group times as well, and he got to see what that all looked like. So Ronnie, come on up.
A few months ago, Merv asked Connie and I if the kids could come out to our place, and I immediately said yes, not knowing what I was getting into. But that was okay. They were there about 15 minutes, and the first kid went into the pond. And about 10 minutes later, there were about 30 of them in the pond. And apparently, I must have had a weird look on my face, because Andy said, "Are you okay?" And I said, "I will be tomorrow." First of all, I got to personally see these leaders of these kids, and I knew from past that they worked really hard, and the work that they were doing was really great. But to see it personally, and I don't know what these people are talking about when they say they're not organized or whatever. This was like clockwork. They had it all together. It was amazing to me. So I want to thank all these guys that came out and did such a great work with our kids. To the kids, Sam Goen was doing a lot of the preaching. And, you know, Sam was in the youth ministry here 5 or 6 years ago. So one of these kids out here is a Sam Goen in 5 or 6 years. And, you know, that's been Faith Bible Church. We've seen these kids grow. We've had the college, what did we call the college? The four original four girls, the crazy house or something like that, party house. And you look on a typical Sunday here in the fall, we have 70 students over here. So to see this constantly going, and this is the whole part about the planting of the seed. And you remember the crazy sermon that Andy did where he was talking about the baton and did that quite crazy motion? That's what he's talking about to y'all kids, is passing that torch. And we had some seniors in high school that were here and over there Wednesday, and to the younger kids, I just, again, just keep passing that torch. And there was one story I heard from two guys. I won't mention their names, but two of the younger guys here. And I asked them, I said, "So what are y'all's issues when you're talking about Jesus to your friends?" And they said, "You know, at school, it's tough because we're in the world at school, and I don't want my friends to not like me." And to the kids, I want y'all, and this is what I told them. I said, when you use the word friend and not liking, those two don't go together. So if your friends don't like you, but you're talking about Jesus, then they're not your friends. We need to find some different friends. Now, I say that, we still need to go out to the world and convert people, bring Jesus to people. So don't shun those people, but don't take it too difficult. Again, I just want to thank, the church for helping support these guys. And, Merv, I just want to thank you personally for the things that you do and leading that. Thank you very much.
All right, keep them on. Awesome. Hey, two passages that we're going to work on this morning. So if you could turn to Matthew chapter 28, the end of the chapter. And we're also going to do Acts 1:8. And all the kids have been making fun of every guy who's gotten up here to preach because we all do this. So I got to make sure and do this and get it right. Matthew chapter 28 and Acts 1:8. One of the things we had talked about was building relationships. And one of the things that we had the kids do, and I'm going to encourage you guys to do when you're talking with the kids, you need an icebreaker. So do not be afraid to walk up to one of these kids and say, hey, what's your name? What's your favorite movie? What's your favorite food? It's an easy way to get a conversation going. Don't be surprised if you're going to have one of these kids come up and ask you those same questions. So be ready to have an answer. And for some of you more seasoned people, when you start mentioning things like Easy Rider and movies like that, you're going to have to explain what Easy Rider was. They don't know. Del McCord had to explain who Stevie Ray Vaughan was. It's a cool way to start having those conversations. And then when you see each other here on Sundays or you start working with each other, you know each other. It was so cool to watch this morning kids coming up and just giving Mark a hug, who last week probably would have never said anything to Mark because they didn't know him. They've been able to have those conversations. That's what we need here. What the kids learned about this week from Sam was the upside-down kingdom. And that upside-down kingdom, if you've never heard that phrase, is in the world wants you to, Sam used this stool as the example. This is the throne, and you're supposed to be on top of the throne. Everything's about you, and everybody else is supposed to serve your needs. But when we're talking about the upside-down kingdom, and in God's kingdom, is God's supposed to be on that throne, and we're supposed to be the ones who are down here serving God. So what I want to talk about today when we're looking in Matthew 28 and Acts 1:8 is a little bit of what does serving God look like. So if you'll bow with me, we're going to pray, and then we'll jump in. Father, I just want to thank you for these kids, for this church. Ask that you'll open up hearts and minds and start getting the people to think about where are we going to be able to serve here locally in the Brazos Valley. Who are we going to be able to seek out? Who are our non-Christian friends that we're going to be able to talk to you about as we go forward in the days and weeks to come? Father, we love you and we thank you for loving us. Amen. We're going to start Acts 1:8. Many of you know this verse, but in Matthew 28, the two verses are known as the Great Commission and the Great Commandment. So in Acts 1:8, it says, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." And in Matthew 28, end of the chapter, starting in verse 18, "Then Jesus came to them and said, 'All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Therefore, go, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age.'" When we talked about that servant and being on the throne, in the world, when you're on the throne, whoever that ruler is, more likely than not, is not going to have your best interest at heart, especially when we're talking about that ruler-slave relationship. If you're the slave, your needs are nothing. It's all about what the ruler wants. But when we're talking about Jesus and our Lord, when He's sitting on the throne, what we're a slave to is a slave to righteousness. And the Lord's looking out for our best interest. And in this great commandment and in this great commission is what He's telling us, this is what I want you to go out to do. This is how you can have your righteousness. And oh, by the way, here's kind of your one job. Your one job is to go out and tell other people about me. See, He set out a path for us, and that's what the Great Commission and the Great Commandment is. And part of that path, when Jesus was a boy and His parents went and found Him in the synagogue, and He said, "I have to be about my Father's business." And then what we learn later in Luke 19 and verse 10, He talks about, "I came to seek and save the lost." So the question I have for you is, what is our path? If we're supposed to seek and save the lost, what are we doing? For a lot of us, we say, oh, well, you know, I became a Christian and I come to church every time the doors are open and I send my kids to Christian school or I only hang out with my Christian friends. So if all we know is Christian friends, are we really doing what the Lord's asked us to do? That's right. Luke said he came to seek and to save the lost. So I want you to take a minute and seriously take a minute and think about who are your non-Christian friends right now. Who is it that you know that is not a Christian? That could be somebody inside of your own household, your children, somebody at work, another family member. Who is it? Do you have that person in your mind? If you don't have a person in your mind, my challenge to you is start seeking out. If you don't know somebody who's not a Christian, we're not doing this Jesus thing right. One of the things that we see in Acts 1:8, if we go back and look at it, and this is one of the things that scares people so much, and it's stuff that we talk about in here, is that, well, I don't know what I'm going to do. Like, what do you mean talking to somebody who's not a Christian? But in Acts 1:8, Jesus says, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. So question for the church, when does the Holy Spirit come on you? When is it? Is it as soon as you're saved, Miss Linda, or is it 8 months later? As soon as you're saved, the moment you're saved. So the moment I'm saved, the Holy Spirit comes on me and gives me power. And then Jesus says, hey, you're going to get this power and you're going to be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. So immediately, not 8 months from now, not after I finish seminary, immediately. We've got the power. We have the ability. So one of the challenges I gave to the kids and one of the challenges that Leon's given people when they go to El Salvador and one of the challenges I'll give to you, I'm going to use it in the salesman speak for my professional career. What's your elevator pitch? When you get that opportunity, when Jesus puts somebody in front of you that you're supposed to share the gospel with, what are you going to say? And you do, we call it the elevator pitch because you really got less than 5 minutes to talk to somebody. And then I don't want this to sound sacrilegious, but our product is Jesus. We're selling Jesus when we're going out and talking to people. So what is it that you're going to say? What is your 3-minute testimony that you can have? If you don't have one, seek out somebody who is a more seasoned Christian than you are. Come talk to us as one of the elders. We would love to help you with that. We want you to be good at that. The best thing, if you're an athlete, if you're good at your job, is preparation. We want you to prepare for this. Come practice it on us. Come find me. Come talk to me about it. We can work through it. If you're in the youth group, talk to your small group leaders. The more that you repeat and practice your elevator pitch, the easier it's going to be when you're talking, like you saw in the picture up there, when Ben Capps was talking to some stranger on a bench for 3 hours. He knew exactly what to do. And I talked about you need to go out and seek and you need to find people. What I don't want you to hear from me is that you only need to be out in the world. It is right that we're hanging out and we're with believers and they're strengthening us and they're helping us grow in the Lord because we need that because the world is a place that's going to knock us down. But if we're out seeking and Ben, I'm going to use a bit of your story for a minute. Ben Capps is 6 months. But 6 months, new Christian. 6 months ago, he was a devout atheist. But Ben Capps wasn't sitting in a church, didn't get invited to have some other preacher tell him about Jesus. He saw these amazing people that was members of our youth group and said, I want to start hanging out with those people. And then when he started hanging out with those people, he realized, man, there's something different about them. What is it that's different about you? And those people, Evans, Brittany's, Forgan's, he started talking to him about Jesus. That's part of why we go out and why we were at these service sites is that we have to have opportunities to talk to people and share with people and they can see that we're doing things that are different. It's why the people at the Humane Society, every group that went there, they're like, we don't get people like this. Most people when they come, they're coming because the government told them at school that they had to get X number of service hours. And all they're there is to get in, check off a box, and get their hours done. But with Faith Bible Church, when we go out and do stuff, when we're doing things, because that's what our Lord told us to do, is to go out and to serve others, it's a different attitude, it's a different heart, and people look at it and go, there's something different about you. What is it that's different about you? And that's our opportunity to open up and talk about Jesus. I have to keep looking at my notes because I wasn't prepared, because I decided on Saturday I was actually going to sleep, since we got all of about 2 hours of sleep every night. The other thing that I really want you to look at is, when we look at things like Matthew 28 and we're looking at things like Acts verse 1-8, is on Mother's Day I went outside of Madisonville, visit my grandmother, hang out with her for Mother's Day. And the pastor happened to be preaching on Matthew chapter 28, and he looked at everybody and he said, do you all believe what's written in this book? Everybody nodded their head. He said, well, how come when it gets to these verses about being witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea and all of Samaria, you go, oh, that's somebody else's job. If I need somebody, if I've got a family member who needs Jesus, I'm picking up the phone and I'm calling Dan Marshall, saying, hey, Dan, will you go witness to this person? That's fine. You might need some help in the beginning, but we want to make sure that you can do it on your own. Why do we look and say, oh, that's somebody else's job to go work at the Lincoln Center in College Station. That's somebody else's job to go to China. And the pastor was so funny. He said, when you're standing at the pearly gates in front of St. Peter, you can't look at him and go, oh, I thought everything was true except for that part. That was somebody else's job. It was great. It's our job. What I want you to do is go back and look at Acts 1 in verse 8. And you've done this one in other verses before. But I want you to change the name from you and put your name in it. Every time you see this stuff in the Bible, especially when you see the word you, is change it and put your name in it. So for me, it's going to be, but Merv will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on Merv. And Merv will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea and all of Samaria and to the ends of the earth. It's our job. And some of you right now are thinking, I've got to go fix things first. It's like folks who want to go to the gym and say, well, I need to lose 10 pounds and then I'll go to the gym. Right, Casey? Isn't that how it works when people come to see you? Yeah. That's not the way that it works. You don't have to go say, oh, well, I've got to get right with Jesus first before I can start doing things. Or I've got to do stuff under my own power for 6 months and not be lying to people for 6 months, or I've got to overcome my porn addiction first before I can go be with Jesus, or I've got to, you know, not be committing adultery or not be cheating on my finances or whatever that crazy thing is for you. It's not something that you're supposed to fix. God's putting you in these situations because you need Him first. And all that stuff that you're hearing about, oh, I've got to fix myself first, or, hey, I'm the only one who's going through this. It's all the big lie, and we talk about it all the time, as the devil is just trying to put you in a silo so that you won't be going out and being witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, and all of Samaria. One of the cool things we had after church group is, We were talking to the kids at the beginning of the week of what is it? What's that stumbling block that's keeping you from being able to do what the Lord wants you to do? And folks would share and we'd tell people, and just like we tell adults, like, there's nothing that you're going to tell us that's going to make me think different of you. That's the biggest thing, especially for us as adults. Like, I can't share that because Mark Record's not going to want to hang out with me anymore if he knows that I did this or that I'm struggling with this. And one of the sweetest things, Peter Fiddler, just finished sixth grade. He pulled me off to the side after the group was over and his voice was quivering. And he said, Mr. Merv, said, sometimes I struggle with whether God's real or not. And I looked at him and I said, Peter, I'm 43 and an elder in the church. And one of my favorite verses is, I believe, help me with my unbelief. And his eyes kind of lit up. And then I turned him around and all the guys were sitting in the five wide. And I said, hey, who in here struggles with believing in God even though you're a Christian? And every one of the guys raised their hands. And in that moment, Peter, who thought for sure that, oh, well, my doubt, that's the one thing that I can't tell people out in public. And Peter realized, oh, everybody struggles with this. So whatever it is for us as adults, those things that we think we're the only ones going through, find somebody, share that stuff with. It's just keeping you from doing what God wants you to do. And it's all a lie. There's nothing that you're going through that somebody else hasn't already gone through. The other things that I will tell you in in victory and why we can do this and why we can all go out and do this now. We had talked about it a few months ago. We talked about it with the kids that you think, oh, well, when God sees me, he sees the boy that's addicted to porn. He sees the girl that has done stuff on the internet that she shouldn't have done. He sees the guy who committed adultery on his wife, or vice versa. He sees the person who cheated on their finance. Whatever that struggle is that you think when God sees you, he looks through all of those bad things before he sees you. And it's another lie. And what you need to realize today, if you haven't realized that, is that when God's looking at you, he doesn't see you through all that stuff. When God's looking at you, he sees himself. You are part of Christ. When you accepted salvation, you became one with him. And I'll tell you, if you're not a Christian today, after we pray, we're going to do a couple of songs. Please, some of the elders will be standing up front. If you don't know Jesus, man, come up. We want to talk to you about it. Let's change that path. He is sitting and ready and waiting for you, and there's nothing that you've done that's going to make him say, I don't love you. He already loves you, and he already forgave you for your sins. And for a lot of us Christians who've been Christians for 6 months or 6 years or 60 years, sometimes we need a reminder of that as well. He loves us. The last thing I'll say, and specifically for this church and for the women in this church, is there, people always come to us and say there's something different about Faith Bible Church. And what I want you to know is there is something different. Is we all know as elders that we are broken people and our families aren't perfect, and we haven't, you know, we look at each other and go, really, God chose us for this? You can share with us. We will be vulnerable back with you. We have things that happen in our life that we have struggles with. We are not perfect. We are not on this pedestal. For the ladies in this church, we know that there's a lot of churches that you've been to where there can't be two queen bees in the same hive. But what you need to know is that in Faith Bible Church, there is no lady that's sitting on the throne. Every lady in this church knows that Jesus is on the throne and they're all serving. So if you've had your guard up, because at a lot of other churches there is one woman that she's the queen and she's going to make sure that she knocks you all down, that doesn't happen here at Faith Bible Church. Go be open, go be vulnerable with these women. They're not perfect either, but they all are trying to love Jesus just like you're trying to love Jesus, and they're not going to use your hurts and your insecurities against you. Right, ladies? All right. So what I'm going to tell you is today, start today. I'm going to give you the message like Dan does. Start today, be holy today, change the path today. If you're a parent of one of these kids, they're going to start acting different. Don't hold that against them. For some of you adults, you're going to start acting different in your relationship with your spouses, with your children, with your grandchildren. If you're that spouse, that child, that grandkid, don't hold it against that person. Oh, well, Henry, you're different, but Henry, you're that guy that did this 6 months ago. Mr. Horch, you're different, but you did this thing last year, and I'm still holding that against you. If we want to set everybody up for success, we've got to do just what Jesus does. And He gives us the new chance. He gives us the chance to start over and to start fresh, and we've got to do that same thing too with each other. And if we start changing the way that we act with each other, it's going to make it easier for us to trust, oh yeah, Lord, what you say is true. And now I can go out and I can serve, and I can seek and to save the lost. I'm going to stop with that. I'm going to stop and pray, and then we're going to sing a couple songs. And I'm serious. If you do not know Jesus today, if you've got questions, come up, find one of us elders who are standing up at the front. We would love to talk to you this morning. Father, we thank you for how amazing you are, that even when we've been Christians for a long time, but we have not had the best relationship with you, you have been standing right beside us all this whole time, just waiting. You haven't walked away from us. You are ready to start that relationship. All we have to do is say, hey, Jesus, I'm ready. Father, it's that we go through these next weeks, these next months, that we will start putting action items for ourselves. What is it that we are going to do to change? What is it we are going to do to serve? Who is it in Faith Bible Church that I can start building relationships with so that I can have more brothers and sisters in Christ who can help strengthen me and I can help strengthen them? And who is it? Who is my friend, my acquaintance, my coworker, my family member that I can start working with so that I can go out and seek and save the lost and be able to be a slave in righteousness like you want us to be? Father, we love you and we thank you for loving us. Amen.